Gentlemen of the jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No, because I'm going to get him.
Jeremy, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Okay, there we go. Welcome back to the Hagman & Hagman Report.
Hey, thanks for having me back.
Absolutely. I was just looking at the website, conquerseries.com. After we come back from the break in about 25 minutes here, we're gonna play that trailer for folks.
Okay.
Folks, again, go to conquerseries.com. Yeah, it's great to have
Thank
you back
you.
On. Where do you want to start tonight?
You know, I'm up for anything. We can talk about what's happening in the church today with pornography and, really how do they wind up in bondage to pornography? The church has the opinion that they just have a moral problem, and if they read their Bible more and did all the church things more, they wouldn't have this issue, but it goes much deeper than that. So perhaps.
Yeah. Well, let's start there. It obviously is a huge problem that, you know, most won't admit that they have. Some people have addictions. Other people will view it less casually, I guess. But there is obviously it's not going away, meaning that the supply is continuing to be there and to increase because the demand continues to be on the increase.
Yeah, exactly.
And we have the access, you know, from the internet and everything that connects to the internet, from smartphones to tablets. It's mobile now. So, how has
it's only going to get worse?
Yeah. So how have we allowed the church to be infiltrated by pornography?
Well, it's the one thing the church has not. They haven't put any program in place to help guys who are struggling. So that has really set up guys in church in a way that, because everyone at some point in their life is going to be exposed to it. So the church should be giving them the pull so that when that exposure happens, they have a way to deal with it. And that happens usually at an early age, 7, 8, 9, 10 years old is around the time of first exposure. You've got to start at that age, and you know, the church hasn't done that, so now we're left with guys in their 30s and 50s and 70s who are addicted to pornography, and we've got to get them help as well.
Well, Jeremy, let me ask you this. You know, we have a lot of guests on, some pastors, many of the guests, whether they're they attend church on a regular basis or not, are Christian. And we hear a lot, and I've experienced this a lot in churches, that, you know, we have a new kind of pastor out there where they don't preach the whole message of the gospel, meaning they will preach the love, they'll preach the, you know, turn the other cheek. But there, it comes to a gray area when you get into the preaching against sin and the conviction of sin. Is some of the one of the reasons that pornography is so prevalent in the churches is because of the lack of the preaching of sin and the conviction there?
To be honest, not really.
Okay.
And the reason is not because these guys aren't convicted enough. The reason is because it's a brain problem. And what I mean by that is they've found something to medicate the pain in their life. And they know it's wrong. They know that morally they're making a bad decision. But they continue to go back and they drink that poison over and over again because they're finding a way to medicate the pain in their life. And, you know, they can be under the greatest pastor in the world. And if they don't get down to the root of why they're medicating this worthlessness that's deep down in their soul, that they don't have the help of other men around them to get down to that, then everything, all the messages that they're receiving on the surface aren't hitting that pay dirt. They're not dealing with the root problem. And I know that that requires a paradigm shift in our thinking to see it from that perspective. And that's what we're really up against with the church. Because, look, I'm all for what preachers have got to teach from the pulpit. They've got to teach biblical principles and values, and there's got to be a convicting message. And that's important as well. So you can't just have guys who are struggling with this under the leadership of wimps in the pulpit. But more than that, they've got to find others. They've got to bring others around them that really know how to get down to the core issue for why they're medicating this worthlessness that's deep down in their soul with pornography.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. And you mentioned that this is a brain issue. This is a psychological issue to the point where people get consumed by it and then it becomes part of their regular behavior. How can we, I guess, deprogram our brain to move away from this?
Well, what happens is, you know, it's sexual bondage. It's not primarily a moral problem, although it does have moral implications. It's primarily a brain problem, which is why the scripture tells us to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. So many people ask, is it bondage or is it sin? And the answer to the question is, yes, it's both. And in James 1:14, it tells us that each person is tempted when they're dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. And what James is telling us is that he's giving us a word picture. That word enticed is very powerful. And what he means by that, it's a baited hook. In other words, God's telling us, don't go here, or the enemy is going to get a hook in your soul, right in your brain. So it starts off as a moral decision. I'm going to go here and ignore what God says. Then you latch on to this baited hook, which sinks deep down into your brain, in your soul. Then the next verse in 15, it says, after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. Now it's become a pre-programmed pattern in your soul. It's become a full-fledged addiction. Didn't start off like that. Started off as, well, let me just go here and I know I'm not supposed to do this. Becomes a baited hook, you latch on, eventually it becomes an addiction. So it's really important that men understand that the enemy is setting him up. it's an incredible, masterful plan by the enemy to use pornography, because God's given us a brain that is a sexual brain, and it's meant to latch and cleave to our spouse. And here we are abusing this beautiful gift that God's given us, and we're cleaving and latching to synthetic images that are meaningless.
Yeah, and you know, it's what's really frightening to think about is I guess you'd call it the recent trend where, even, you know, on Drudge, a few times a week now I see reports where lifelike sex dolls and, you know, look, the artificial intelligence industry is getting on board with this, and they are really commercializing this. And obviously, if you don't have a biblical foundation and belief system, I guess it might not be an issue morally for a lot of people, especially in terms of religion. But if we can a little bit get into why is it so easy for people who are Christians to fall into this destructive pattern of behavior? Or is it just like any other addiction, alcoholism or, you know, drug addiction? It's just something that is done at first, and the person likes the way it makes them feel, so they continue to do it until it becomes, a pattern in their behavior.
Yeah, well, the reason that it's easy is because there's so much brokenness in the church. And when I talk about this, it always comes across as psychobabble. But there's biblical foundations to this. And I can talk about that on the show as well. But there's so much brokenness in human beings. So every addiction is really about how that person has learned to medicate this pain in their life. And I'm not talking about surface pain. I'm not talking about something that just happened recently. Maybe you got in a fight with someone, or, you know, things aren't going the right way at work. I'm talking about the deep down seated pain that's in your soul, that these messages that you learn from early childhood, they become planted in your subconscious as you're growing up. In the first 6 years of your life, and the most important, that's when the brain is like wet cement. And if you have deep trauma at that age, it can be in the form of parents. Maybe your parents get divorced, or a parent dies, sexual abuse. Maybe there's just neglect in the family. Maybe dad's there, but he's not really there. There's all these sorts of trauma, from extreme to mild, and depending on the person, the mild trauma might be extreme. But that trauma becomes deeply embedded in that person's soul at an early age, and the brain is forming. Those first 6 years as the brain is forming, like I said, it's wet cement, and those first 6 years are the most crucial, because you're basically forming your operating system that you'll operate from for the rest of your life. It's sort of like the template that you're going to use to operate from. So if you grow up those first 6 years and you're in a very stressful house and you experience a lot of anger and outrage and maybe physical abuse or emotional abuse, likely, like 99% chance, you're going to have the profile of someone who's very anxious and on edge for the rest of your life. And you were never taught conflict resolution, so you're likely going to have you'll be very reactive in your relationships. So behind all of that, there's a message that's deeply ingrained in our thinking, which is, why is all this happening in my house? Why can't people just get along? Maybe there's something wrong with me, or I could be a better person, or, you know, there's just something wrong with me. I'm worthless. And that's what comes out of living in that type of environment, and you carry that belief about yourself. It's a deep lie that the enemy instills in you, and now you're going to carry that belief with you throughout your life, and you find ways to medicate it. And how does the enemy work? He finds the point of our pain, and then he gives us a means to medicate that pain. So he's out there scouring families, and he's watching dysfunction in families, and he's giving these young children means to medicate the pain in their lives through pornography and drugs and alcohol and, you know, all sorts of ways. And pornography, I believe, is probably the biggest, and it's the most difficult to treat, because it's a hidden addiction. You can be a Harvard professor or a guy off the streets, and you could struggle with pornography, and no one can tell the difference. You just don't know who's struggling with it. You could be a pastor of a megachurch, or someone who just attends service on Sundays, and you both struggle with pornography. Well, that's a struggle. I should say addiction. You both have an addiction to pornography. So it doesn't have, you're not going to have marks on your arm like you would with a heroin addiction. That's the part of that addiction that's very dangerous, because you've learned to live this lie that I am this person on the outside, that this is how I live my life on the inside. And this is a big reason for the ineffectiveness that we see among men in church today. That's why there's just not this fire that we're that we'd like to see, because guys are just, they've become complacent from the use of or the addiction to pornography. It's quite scary. The church doesn't get it.
You're right. Do you think it would be beneficial to congregants of different churches to maybe talk to their pastors or the church leadership to start some type of groups? Do you think that there would be a reluctance of people wanting to, for reasons of shame, I guess, for wanting to come forward? And what would you advise people to do in their own churches to be able to help others dealing with this?
It's actually a mix, because we've seen now over 450,000 men who've gone through the Conquer series, and they've done it at their local church. Our goal is to hit 1 million. We're almost halfway there. And if you would have asked me that in the beginning, are men really going to show up into a Conquer group and talk about their porn problem? As I was making the Conquer series, I would have said, no way. But I knew God put it on my heart to make this film series, so I did it. But I didn't think anyone was going to show up to watch it, to be honest. But what we're seeing is it's a mix. Some guys are too filled with shame to deal with it, and they haven't hit rock bottom yet, so they really aren't at the place to deal with it. You got to get to the place that it doesn't matter. I'm going to get free, and nothing's going to stop me from getting there. That's the place you got to be at. You got to attack this issue head on. And then we see other guys who are just, man, I've been living with this for 20, 30, 40 years. Some guys in their 60s and 70s are saying, enough is enough. I've been looking for this for my entire life. And so they're, the first mention that this was available, they were signing up. We've had, in some places, hundreds of men, 200-300 men have signed up in their church to be part of the Conquer series. So, and it does have a lot to do with leadership as well. Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, I got to commend you. You know, not a lot of people, for obvious reasons, as we just talked about, will want to get into this, whether they have a problem, whether they had a problem. And I've talked to people, you know, listeners and other people that have dealt with this issue, and you know, just I'd say heartbroken. Just as bad as any drug addiction. You know, they did not want to continue this behavior at all, yet felt hopeless in trying to stop. And when dealing with issues like these, it is very important to have a support structure in place, whether that be friends or a support group, but people that you can open up to and be able to have a dialogue about your problems and what you're going through, because a lot of people go through similar emotions and issues, having that ability for fellowship and communication is a big part of the problem, because we don't have that today. And I think it's important that people understand that being uncomfortable or dealing with that little bit of shame and what you feel is the shame or embarrassment is microscopic in terms of, you know, continuing the destructive behaviors.
Yep. Yeah, dealing with that shame is tough, especially for the men who are in leadership at church. They just don't feel like they can come out. Well, maybe they're a leader in their community, or, you know, maybe, yeah. So for those folks, it's very difficult to talk about the problem. But they've got to go to someone that they can trust, that they can talk to. Otherwise, it's not going to get any better. The guys don't conquer this by themselves. That's one of the lies of the pornographies that, one lie is, that was the last time, I'll never do it again. Guys tell themselves that thousands and thousands of times. And the second lie is, I can fix it myself. And it doesn't happen. You just can't. Take the accountability of other men.
Yes, it does. And you know, we have, especially in this country, there is a, I don't know what you'd call it, and I'm sure there's a word for it. I can't, I'm drawing a blank in my mind, but it's ego. And then there's, you know, something about being a man where, as you said, you know, people are too, feel, oh, I'm too manly. I can do this on my own. I don't need help. So there's the ego and that, the issue of pride that people have. But well, as they say, pride comes before the fall. And, I imagine this is a much more widespread problem than most people realize. And it's something that, you know, we're coming up against the break here in a few minutes, but I know we were going to branch off into some other areas of conversation tonight. The, the pedophilia, the, you know, the international global elitist child trafficking and pedophilia ring. How does the observing and watching pornography desensitize people or even draw people into the world of pedophilia? And is there a connection?
Well, yeah, there is a connection. And I could go back and talk about the history of that, if you want me to, with Alfred Kinsey and the sexual revolution. It's kind of fascinating, but...
yeah, a little
for
bit.
Some guys, yeah, for some guys, it's just escalation. They're looking... They start off with maybe rated R movies. It moves into softcore pornography. It moves into pornography. Moves into voyeurism and other types of things, and it leads up... They're in jail. They're doing things that they could never believe that they did. And for some of these people, what happens is at a young age, when you're maybe sexually active with someone that's your same age, maybe 10, 12 years old, you've imprinted onto that age group. And now as you grow up, you're... what's the word? Your sexual template is aimed towards that age group, and it's never matured past that. And now you find yourself in your 20s and 30s and 40s, and you still gravitate towards 10 and 12 year olds. So, and a lot of times, I'd say 90% of the time, we find that those people were also sexually abused in their past. And that's where it goes back to wounds, man. It just, a lot of this is based on the wounds of their past and the lies that come from those wounds that tell us who we are. And,
yeah. And that seems to be the status or the standard when dealing with, you know, from childhood tragedies and things that people suffer as children, whether it's sexual trauma or other types of abuse, it always seems to bring up issues that lead to these destructive patterns of behavior. Folks, we're talking with Jeremy Wiles. Go to the website conquerseries.com. When we come back right from the break, we're going to play the trailer to the latest film. Jeremy Wiles is our guest. Don't go anywhere. He'll be with us for another segment. Stay tuned.
Visit HagmanReport.com for the news and articles that matter most. Stay tuned. We will be right back. In a thrilling series of novels, T.C. Joseph takes us into the lives of three families who struggle to maintain normal lives in a world where conspiracy theory and Bible prophecy collide. T.C. Joseph's viewpoint of alternative history and understanding of prophetic events will change your view of the world and the events on our horizon. Kirkus Review states, readers of End Times fiction will be hard-pressed to find it done more intriguingly than this. Extremely readable and fast-paced. Blue Week Reviews boldly states, fans of Tim LaHaye's Left Behind series and Tom Perata's The Leftovers will find this thought-provoking series absolutely riveting. Order your copies of T.C. Joseph's This Generation series from Amazon.com. Book 1, Precipice. Book 2, Pentecost. And Book 3, Penance.
In these uncertain times, it makes sense to have a sustainable backup method to cook food and boil water. If your current plan includes using a fuel-burning stove or cooking over an open fire, then there's a much better way. The Minuteman Rocket Stove is a biomass-burning cooking stove that only requires small quantities of sticks and twigs for fuel. The Minuteman Stove is easy to use, smokeless, portable, powerful, and sustainable. For the finest in survival cooking stoves and fire starters made right here in the USA, go to MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com.
You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood, a murder investigation based upon a true story by private investigator Douglas J. Hagman. Using the character Mark Stiles, Hagman takes you on a journey behind the scenes where the homicide becomes a secondary to an underworld of satanic ritual abuse, child abduction, and even mind-controlled experimentation. A world dismissed as conspiracy by those who want to keep its secrets hidden. Exposing the dangers, denials, and deceptions. For 5 years, a brutal killer remained on the loose, free to kill again. As Mark struggles to navigate the maze of bizarre twists and untangle a web of deeply hidden secrets kept by some of the most powerful and influential people in his community and beyond. Stained by Blood. Order your copy of this engaging novel today at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood.
Sexual battle of its life.
You take just a standard cookie cutter Christian, don't do this, don't do that, it won't work.
It's going to really sweep through the church like a tsunami wave of destruction in the family.
I had wanted to fly a jet aircraft since I was 4 years old. I wanted to be a fighter pilot.
Hey.
And so it was all I was living for.
If you don't think you're a hot shot, you will last 10 seconds in combat. You know how to fly, but you don't know how to fight.
You have to understand how the enemy is personally bushwhacking you.
Alpha Bravo, this is an ambush.
I'm rolling in.
I was an alcoholic.
I was a sex addict. I was completely out of control.
Like I had a rope around my leg, they have a noose around their soul. And the harder they pull against it, the worse it gets. That's why trying harder doesn't work. You have to know your enemy if you're going to win. He's not just going to go away. Just the power of sexual bondage. It promises you everything, gives you absolutely nothing. It feels as if there's no hope, you're never getting out of this. But the shed blood of Jesus Christ guarantees there's a way out. God guarantees you. His word is very clear. The curse will be visited the third or fourth generation.
We will create trails in our brain that are just going to fire on an automatic sequence.
You're fighting for the very lineage that God gave you.
What a man does in life becomes history. Well, what he puts into motion becomes his legacy.
And if you will break this curse, then your sons and your daughters have a better shot.
It took me 3.5 years. But I'll tell you now, you know what I'm having the joy of? It's sweet revenge. The very thing the enemy used against me as a weapon, now God is forged by the hammer of his adversity that he's brought in my life, by the hammer of his challenges, by the correction of my soul, and he's formed it into a weapon, and I'm taking sweet revenge against the enemy. And that's what God has for you.
one bad day determine who you are and how you can fly.
It will put a weapon in your hand that you can conquer and begin to help other men.
I believe in you, Roberts.
And folks watching live on YouTube or listening on Global Star Radio Network, that was the trailer for the film Conquer series, The Battle Plan for Purity. And joining us is the creator of that film, Jeremy Wiles. Jeremy, can you tell people where to go to get the film?
Yeah, it's just our website is conquerseries.com. Conquerseries.com.
Okay. And that's available now?
Yes, it's available now. It's a 6-disc DVD set, and it's used in small groups in churches all across the country.
Excellent. And yeah, in other words, people, if you're gonna purchase the DVD, that you would share it with those of in your congregation and in your church. It can be a fantastic tool, you know, that can change a whole congregation. And, you know, when watching that, and listening to that trailer, there were some great points made. The rope, the guy that has had the rope tied around his ankle, and he likened those who are addicted to pornography as having a rope tied around their soul. And that's very true. And it is like anything else, it's a battle. It's a struggle, a day-to-day battle, something that you need to keep on top of. And, Mr. Wiles is offering, some insight and some tools to help you to be able to do that. So I hope people take advantage of that. Where do you want to go from here, Jeremy?
You know, I think something really important that guys understand is that this is a battle that takes place in the brain. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 6:18, it says, flee from sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body, but he who sins sexually sins against his own body. And for years, I wondered, what in the world did that mean? How do you sin against your own body? But now, through working on the Conquer series and studying the brain, I realized that when you sin sexually, you're actually sinning against your brain. The brain begins to mold and take shape through that stimulus from pornography. You know, the brain is like an internal pharmacy. It's open 24 hours a day, and when you have a sexual release, it receives the highest level of endorphins and acephaline. It's 4 times more powerful than morphine. The brain has these brain cells that hook up to other brain cells called synapses. And when those synapses are used a lot, they strengthen and grow. And we can look at brain imaging of maybe like a violinist, and we can see that part of the brain where their fingers are moving becomes thicker and stronger. They're actually developing new synapses, and those neural pathways are strengthening as they practice more and focus on the task of becoming a great violinist. And this is also what happens when someone becomes hooked on pornography. The brain begins to mold in response to those images. So imagine like walking through a path in a field. The more we walk down that path, the easier it becomes. And so what the enemy wants to do is to take our brain hostage. And he does that through what we call limbic lies. And first let me tell you, if I could, two important parts of the brain. One is the prefrontal cortex, and the other is the limbic system. The prefrontal cortex is where you make moral decisions and higher reasoning. It's your moral decision maker. It's your brakes. The limbic system is designed to help you survive. It's also the emotional brain. So sexual bondage is in the limbic system. That's where healing takes place. The prefrontal cortex is the braking system for the brain. It helps you to say no to things that aren't good for you. And that part of the brain, the part of the brain that helps you say no, is not fully developed until you're age 25. Which is a big reason that insurance companies don't let you rent a car until you're 26. So children who discover porn, say at like 10, 11 years old, they physically don't have the wiring in their brain to say no. They don't have a wiring. That's why you don't just give your let your kids do anything that they want. If you did, they'd sit around and eat candy all day. They don't have the emotional wiring to make those good decisions. So when people become addicted to something, they actually develop an emotional attachment to that substance, which that happens in the limbic brain. So how does the enemy set someone up to become addicted to porn? Well, the overwhelming majority of men who are addicted to porn have deep wounds from their past. And that isn't just psychobabble, and I can tell you why in a second. In the Conquer series, we talk about the big T and the little T, which is big trauma and little trauma. Big trauma could be your parents' divorce, maybe a parent died, there was an accident, sexual abuse. Little trauma many times comes in the form of like neglect. Dad was there, but he really wasn't there. Emotional abuse, maybe rejection. So, take for example, we've got this guy, his name's Joe, at 10 years old. He's 10 years old. His home is hectic. It's very hectic. His parents divorced when he was 10 years old. And he stumbles across porn on his mother's computer, or maybe her phone. Immediately, endorphins rush through his brain. His conscious, which is his prefrontal cortex, is telling him, you shouldn't be doing this. But the rush is too high and strong for his underdeveloped prefrontal cortex. So he there he is. He's drinking this poison, and he finds himself returning to this deadly concoction many times down the road. And the hook is beginning to set in. He's being dragged away, as Scripture tells us, being dragged away by his own evil desire and his heist. It's that baited hook, just like James is telling him. But soon, it's going to lead to death, just like James said. When he said, when it is full grown, it gives birth to death. So here's Joe. He's now 30 years old. He's a family man. He attends church regularly. But he's been battling with pornography for a really long time. And maybe one day he has a fight with his wife. What does he do? He goes to what he learned made him feel good. At 10 years old, when his house was divided and he was battling with depression, he goes back to pornography. And he binges maybe for a day or maybe a few days, maybe a week or a month. And he absolutely feels disgusted with his behavior. So he begins to purge. And this has been a cycle for Joe for the past 20 years. Binge and purge. He feels bad. He binges on porn. And he stops for a while, but shame steps back in, so he goes back to porn. He binges and he purges. So maybe Joe has stress at work. What does he do? Goes to porn. Joe feels like a failure. He goes to porn. What the church has to start to do is you have to get down to the driving behavior. It's the wounds from his past. Joe must go back and deal with this original wound. That's where the enemy's setting him up. Many men in church today, they're blaming attractive, maybe they saw an attractive woman, or maybe someone in church is wearing a revealing outfit. But it's not someone else's fault, nor is it stress to blame either. It's, in Joe's situation, it's how he learned to medicate the pain in his life. And he's totally at fault for it. He is living in sin. Remember I said that bondage takes place in the limbic part of your brain, which is your survival brain. It's where emotions reside. So Joe was wounded when his parents divorced. And right there was a limbic lie that Satan inserted at the point of that wound. And there's a message behind that wound of losing his parents through divorce. That message is, what's wrong with me? Or maybe I'm not good enough. And it's different for different people. And this is where Joe is going to have to focus his efforts. And maybe he's going to need the help of other men or a counselor. He's going to have to dig down and discover what's driving that behavior. And it's going to take focus, sustained focus over a long period of time to begin to counteract that limbic lie and renew his brain. You know, God's not the architect of our pain. He doesn't cause it, but he'll use it for his glory. And after Joe spends months going through the Cocker series and discovering that God's grace is sufficient for his weakness, new neural pathways begin to form in Joe's brain. And in 90 days, he's no longer watching porn. And that's what we're seeing with guys that are going through the Cocker series. 3 to 4 months, they're coming off pornography. And they may have some relapses down the road, but their addiction is not like what it used to be. So he's out of the dark. Maybe it's been 2 to 5 years. This is a 2 to 5 year process. So what we do is we recommend that guys move into a longer term process once they move through the Conquer series. It's called Seven Pillars of Freedom, and remain in an accountability group for a few years. But there's a huge difference in someone's life who goes through this. They're going to find that they don't just stop watching porn. They're going to be more loving to their wife, and be a better father, more active in their church and community, probably a better tither at their church. I know a lot of pastors want to preach on how to become financially free, and man, I'm all for that. I don't have any debt. But if you want guys to tithe more, help them to overcome this sexual brokenness in their life, and you'll see that they'll start to give. I hope I'm not talking too much. I'm just passionate about helping these guys, and I feel like this is a true and simple method. It's not easy, but the principles are there, and we're trying to, you know, get churches to understand the root of this problem. It is not about behavior modification. It's about heart transformation. And so often in the past, churches have focused on behavior modification. Just stop it. Don't do that anymore. Go read your Bible. Go pray more. And those things are important, but you got to start to transform the heart. And that's a process that takes time, a long-term process.
Yeah, and, you know, you mentioned how people will blame things that trigger them. You mentioned, someone with a revealing outfit, or they see something on TV or in a movie that, you know, brings their brain right back to that spot where they don't want to be. And you can't blame the triggers for your behavior.
That's right.
Because that'd be like an alcoholic seeing a movie, seeing someone, you know, taking a drinking a beer while they're in the movie theater, and they see on the screen somebody drinking a beer, and then turning around themselves and going and drinking and blaming what they saw on TV for the reason that they, you know, fell off the wagon. So we need to, you need to be mindful of this, and the Conquer series looks like a fantastic tool, absolutely a great start, full of information, to put you on the right track. But as we said before, it's a battle that each and every day you'll have to deal with, and the only way you'll continue to get stronger is by confronting those triggers and not allowing those things to pull you back in. And the more victories you have in dealing with that, the stronger you will be in the long run.
That's right. And you know, the enemy is not relenting.
Right.
He's moving from old-fashioned porn magazines from the 1960s, 70s, and 80s to internet pornography, and the next wave that we're going to see is VR, virtual reality porn. You're going to wear a headset, and she's going to be standing in front of you. And if you don't think that's not going to do something to a young person's brain, you got to be kidding me. I mean, what's coming down the road, the church has got to wake up and take notice, because this is an all-out war, and we shouldn't stop at anything. First, we got to offer help to guys who are addicted to this. There's got to be programs in every single church in the country, and even if you're not dealing with it, and help other guys out. get the Conquer series in your church. I'm not saying that to sell DVD sets. I want to help men. If you can find another program to help them, do it. Do something to help these guys. Eventually, what I'd like to see is pornography banned in the United States. And I know some people argue that this is a freedom of speech, but it has nothing to do with freedom of speech. Our country was not built on the premise that we could spread pornography across our country. This is destroying the lives of young people, of men, of families. We're seeing marriages. We're seeing the crumble of the family unit because of pornography. And it's a greater threat than any outside force right now. We're being attacked from within. 56% of divorce cases cite one of the reasons for the breakup being pornography. 68% of men in church are addicts to pornography. 50 to 54% of pastors admit to struggling with pornography on a regular basis. If that's not an epidemic, I don't know what is.
You're right. And Jeremy, you mentioned, you know, how it affects and can affect your marriage and other areas. Well, how else does the addiction to pornography affect people, even outside of their marriages or sexual relationships? Does it make them more susceptible to other immoral or unethical behaviors? What are some of the other things you've seen associated
with this? It usually escalates. So what we see are guys that are moving from pornography into affairs, multiple affairs. And the ramifications of all this is it's just like James told us, it leads to death. And it's not just a physical death. I mean, it can be through STDs that you get, cheating on your wife, you sleep with prostitutes, whatever. But it can also mean things around you start to die. Maybe you lose your job. You get fired at the church. You know, your relationships start to break down. And what we're seeing, and I'm not making this stuff up, this is incredible. I get so excited when I talk about it, because what we're seeing marriages renewed. We're seeing fathers who are now getting back in touch with their sons because they had broken relationships in the past. Now they're being reunited with their family. We're seeing men who are getting pay raises because they have more focus and determination at work, and their productivity is through the roof. And this is, so guys think, okay, if I can just go through this process and just stop watching porn, then, man, I won. No. You're going to get so much more than that. You're going to see a life change. And I lead guys through this process, and they come out the other end, and they're just stunned at what has happened in their life. They're not just free from porn, they're happier. Man, if anything, you're happier. The chains have been set free. God's grace is sufficient for your weakness. And so don't believe in this lie that, well, I'm just a little bit different. I don't know if I can ever be free from this. No, His grace was made for your puny weakness. Not to be insulting, but it is made perfect for your weakness. And He wants to see men set free. So, man, just take that first step. Start moving in that direction, and you're going to see God. He's going to meet you there.
Absolutely. And you've had a lot of success stories with people who have viewed your movie and were that put them on the right track?
We do. We get... we've got a box full of hundreds, and maybe it's up over 1,000 letters now. We get emails every day from people who write us and tell us. Actually, I've got one here sitting right in front of me. If you don't mind, I'll read it.
Sure.
It says, in 2014, she, who's his wife, discovered the devastating news that I was living another life having affairs with multiple women. The damage was catastrophic and still felt today. I was connected with a pastor who counseled me and introduced me to the Conquer series. It was not until this point that I really began my walk with Christ. It was not until I was completely broken and shattered and realized the grips that hell had on my life and the bondage that sexual sin had on my very soul, that I surrendered. Looking back at my life, this series helped me to see where I was giving in and the enemy was taking over. I have been a behind-the-scenes spokesperson for this series to everyone I knew struggled in bondage. And we get those letters all the time, and I think the Conquer series is now in maybe 150-plus prisons across the country. So we get a lot of letters from prisoners as well.
Yeah, that's interesting, from prisoners. I didn't think about that aspect of it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you think of prison, you don't think of pornography, at least I don't, but, you know, in this new technological age we're in, and, you know, all the other ways that prisoners can sneak drugs and other things into where they're incarcerated, I guess it's not out of the question that you'd have that same issue in prisons.
Yeah, it's rampant in prison, and even if guys don't have it, they still have access to those images in their brain. They're embedded in their brain until it's renewed.
We only have about a minute and a half left, Jeremy. I don't mean to cut you off. About the images in the brain, is that something that you found that people who break free of this addiction, that gradually goes away, or is that something that people always deal with? Those images.
Yeah, it's a good question. It doesn't have the sting that it used to. And Bible tells us to take every thought capture. So what guys learn to do is that as those images begin to appear in your brain, you take them capture to the obedience of Christ. And they just don't have the power over you like they used to. I don't believe that Jesus died on the cross for you to be labeled as an addict for the rest of your life. I believe that there's true freedom. And I know that some would say, well, once an alcoholic, always an alcoholic. Once an addict, always an addict. And I just don't believe that Jesus' death on the cross leaves you with that label. So I don't think you have to struggle for the rest of your life. Now, that's a place that the enemy can attack. And he can certainly bring you back to those images quickly, but there's got to be a willingness, and you've got to let your sword become unsharpened. And it's important that you always keep that sword sharpened for the rest of your life.
Absolutely right, Jeremy. We've reached the end of our time together. Again, the website is conquerseries.com. The 5 DVD set is Conquer Series, The Battle Plan for Purity. And again, that's conquerseries.com. Jeremy Wiles is our guest. Thank you so much for joining us tonight, Jeremy. And you keep up the good work, and we look forward to talking with you here in the near future.
Hey, thank you so much. And I really appreciate you guys taking time to talk about such an important subject. So thank you so much.
Well, thank you. Folks, we'll be right back after these short messages. You're listening to this edition of the Hagman & Hagman Report. Don't go anywhere.
Greenovative. Go to HagmanReport.com. Click on the link to Greenovative. What Greenovative is, it's a small company in Florida. They created something called the G-Mag Power Cell. It produces electricity by adding salt water to this unit that recharges rechargeable batteries. It's the coolest thing you'll ever see in your life. It's really neat. Really a super device. All right, you need just 2 teaspoons of ordinary table salt, a little water, but a bang, you're charging your rechargeable batteries. Super G-Mag Chargeable is affordable, it's lightweight, weighs about 8 ounces, it's durable, it's EMP proof, and it's environmentally friendly, that it is. It'll provide safe and convenient power for recharging 6 AA batteries off the grid when other Power sources aren't available anywhere, anytime, in any weather, day or night. Go to greeninnovative.com. That's greeninnovative.com. Folks, in these uncertain times, it just makes sense to have a sustainable backup method for accomplishing one of life's most important tasks, and that's preparing food. This is the way to go. There is nothing better than a Minuteman rocket stove from MinutemanStove.com. We all need a way to cook and a method to process water. I mean, think about it. Think about the many things that could happen to you. Minuteman rocket stove can provide your family or group the perfect solution. It's small, lightweight, wood-burning, and every bit as powerful as a kitchen stove. It's smoke. Smokeless and fully self-contained for clean storage and transport. Because it's so efficient, it cuts down on your wood gathering and processing chores to a tenth what would be required if cooking the old-fashioned way over an open fire. So don't rely on gas or fuel stoves. Prepare your family. Prepare for yourself. Order a Minuteman rocket stove today. It's going to make bad times much better. Folks, MinutemanStove.com. MinutemanStove.com. Need I say more?
You should have a Minuteman, the survival stove in an ammo can.
For investors, timberland has become the symbol of safety. Global tropical timber demand continues to surge as the world's population increases. The need for managed, sustainable timber production forests has never been greater. When stock markets crash, trees keep growing. Direct ownership of fully managed tropical timberland acreage is now available to accredited investors. Prime, valuable hardwood groves close to the beautiful Costa Rican border generate and maintain superior long-term wealth. Consider visiting our forest plantations. Qualified accredited investors should go to PreciousTimberProfits.com or dial 855-888-6288 for more information. Call 855-888-6288 or visit PreciousTimberProfits.com. This announcement does not constitute either an offer to sell securities or a solicitation of an offer to purchase. Offering made by prospectus only. 855-888-6288, PreciousTimberProfits.com, PreciousTimberProfits.com.